cold as a razor blade, as tight as a tourniquet, like the skin on a dying man.
I don't want a piece of the world. I want the whole world.
I make my own rules because it's much easier that way.
Trust me.
What's up, everybody? It's Marcus D'Angelo, and we are back in the Snake Pit. And of course, I'm here joined by the WWE Hall of Famer, AEW talent, and the inventor of the DDT, Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake, we're back, dude.
Oh, man. What a week, brother. What a week.
You've had a busy one, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I've been getting out there, getting around. Went out and had dinner with DiBiase and Duggan the other night. We had a blast. Thought we were going to get thrown out of there because it was a real nice restaurant. And we were Duggan was loud. It wasn't me.
Jim Duggan's loud. I can't.
Yeah, I can't
wrap
my
head around that.
I was just surprised he didn't give one hug the whole time we ate.
The whole entire time, not one.
Not one.
And what about just one tough guy? Did we get one of those?
Oh yeah, we got some tough guys. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it just wouldn't be a complete day without at least one. Man, how about that? The old Mid-South crew going out to dinner there, and you were in Jacksonville, Florida, right?
Yeah. Well, River City Con,
man,
great turnout.
And I'll tell you what, I was looking at the lineup for that thing, and just some unbelievable talents on that on that thing. And man, there's plenty more to come this summer, isn't there, Jake?
Oh man, we're gonna keep right on rolling. You know that.
I know you're about to do a whirlwind tour of Ohio with your comedy tour. You're hitting cities like Columbus, Cincinnati, Cleveland. So, yeah. Man, these fans are in for a real treat. Guys, if you live in the Ohio area, Pennsylvania, Indiana, I don't give a shit where you're from. Make your way over to Ohio for Jake's whirlwind tour of the state, and you can get all the details on that on Jake's social media. I know he's posting them online. So
absolutely.
Guys, keep your eyes open, and we're glad to have you guys here with us this week because, look, you know, initially the plan was we're going to resume our story of AAA, Jake's time in Mexico, and we're going to. Don't worry. We're gonna circle back to it. However, as I was kind of digging around doing some research for future episodes, I was like, you know, I haven't seen much of what Jake has done in the Georgia territory. And here I just went down the internet rabbit hole, Jake, and started watching all of it. It's phenomenal stuff. And it just so happens to be the 40-year anniversary of the debut of the Legion of Doom. Not the Legion of Doom yet, but the Road Warriors in Georgia Championship Wrestling. And, man, I was like, this is the perfect opportunity for us to chat about this history. Am I right?
Oh, man, this is going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. And look, let me preface this by saying, I know that during this period of time, you had a big rivalry with Ronnie Garvin, and it's probably one of the best rivalries of your entire career. Certainly one of the most physical of your career.
Yeah.
In November, we're going to be talking about that entire rivalry. So we're going to kind of tiptoe around it a little bit here.
All right.
But yeah, November is the anniversary of you winning that television title from him. And I can't wait to talk about it. But for right now, let's talk about the Road Warriors. Here we go. Jake, did you ever hear the story about how Matt Bourne's dismissal led straight to the opportunity for the Road Warriors?
Oh, no, I didn't. Let me know.
It's wild, man. So Bourne apparently had been having a lot of substance abuse issues in the territory, and he was tag teaming with Arn Anderson at the time. And Arn has it that there were a few events that led to his firing. In one instance, he got into this really nasty bar brawl with B. Brian Blair. And most fights last something like 90 seconds or so.
Yeah.
Apparently this fight was on and off for about 20 minutes somewhere there.
Nice.
And these guys were just fucking throwing down in this hotel bar. And here it ends up with B. Brian Blair biting off almost his entire bottom lip, the lip of Matt Bourne. So that's one strike. Strike two. Arn Anderson was tag teaming with him, and they were crashing with Paul Ellering. Arn feels his bed sloshing around. He wakes up, and there's Matt Bourne standing over him completely naked, about to piss on him. Arn beat the shit out of him, and so that was strike two. And finally, strike three was apparently Bourne was arrested because allegedly he had a girlfriend who is underage, and that led to his dismissal from the territory. So troubled man, to be sure. But look, it's everything happens for a reason, as they say. And that tag team, of course, was dissolved. And in place of it, Paul Ellering got these two young stars from the Chicago, Minnesota area. And man, they came in with that unbelievable look. Am I right, Jake?
Absolutely, man. You look at him, you went, oh, my God, They were so jacked up, man. Science is a great thing.
Just well, there's, see that. There was certainly some chemistry involved of some kind there with those guys.
Oh, but, God. Tons. But look,
I mean, without knowing how to properly lift weights, without knowing how to have the right kind of diet, I mean, still, you can be on steroids. But, man, those guys put in the work. Yeah, those guys put in the work. And they got absolutely massive. Jake, I've heard some people say that this kind of started the new wave of guys with those bodybuilder type physiques in wrestling.
It sure did. It sure did, man. Up until then, there weren't that many. And it also brought in the opportunities for young guys to get a chance to be on top. Until then, it was usually somebody that was had some time under their belt, you know? And
right.
We're usually 30, 35, but now all of a sudden you got 20-year-olds getting on, out there and doing it. And it opened the door for a lot of people.
Man, they were young, but they were a couple grown ass men, as they say, because holy shit, just seeing these guys, you know, as I said, I was watching back some of the video. They're just massive, massive guys, honestly. Yeah, probably were. Physiques bigger than Hulk Hogan, and just, man, unbelievable look. So the Road Warriors and Ellering start in with Ole Anderson, Wildfire Tommy Rich, Stan Hansen immediately once they get in there and show up as a tag team. Ole was booking at the time, was he not?
Yeah, I believe so.
So I know that you yourself would go on to help with booking when you came to Georgia, but overall, what did you think of having an active wrestler as the booker in a territory?
I don't mind having an active wrestler booking, but I'd like an active wrestler that has a brain. So Ole was good at booking Ole.
I got you. So, well, let me say he's featured all over this stuff as I'm watching it back, where it's like, you know, you can tell he's booking because he is all over the damn product.
Yeah.
And being positioned as a tough guy. And I get it. Like, you know, it's, you got to walk a weird fine line. It's this competitive business. I mean, overall, though, Ole's booking style, like, you know, it's, you and I have talked about it. He's got like this. He was a great promo and he could tell a story in the ring. Yeah. What did you think of his storytelling ability when it came to booking others?
He lacked big, you know, that's one of the reasons I wound up with the job, you know, that was a real funny incident. We might as well tell it now.
For sure.
I'd been in Charlotte and, the Briscoe brothers, who were part owners of Georgia, they own part of that territory. Uh-huh. And we were making a road trip one night, and they told me, said, why don't you go on over to Georgia? You're not happy here, and just be quiet. Just wrestle. But there's something big is going to happen for you. I'm like, okay, you know, what the hell, you know, because I couldn't stand Charlotte. And I went on over there, started wrestling, and Ole had turned around and made Buzz Sawyer the booker.
Oh,
yeah.
Buzz is all over this product too, by the way. I'm seeing an awful lot of Buzz.
Buzz Sawyer made the booker. And then who's wrestling the Road Warriors? Buzz and his little brother, Brett.
Yep.
They're midgets compared to the Road Warriors.
They were.
Especially Brett.
Oh, yeah.
He weighed like 175 pounds, you know? And here's what's even worse. They were beating the Road Warriors.
Unbelievable.
Every night. But I'm keeping my mouth shut and doing my job. Well, one Sunday, you know, the Omni always ran on Sunday. It was a big deal in Atlanta. And I look on the card, and I'm booked against Jerry Briscoe. I'm That's like, a good holy opponent. Shit. Jerry Briscoe, what the hell am I doing wrestling him? I don't need to be doing jobs already, you know? That's what I was thinking. So I'm kind of antsy about it, waiting to talk to him, and he's nowhere to be found. The matches start. We're on fourth. He's nowhere to be found. Second match is over. He's nowhere to be found.
Oh, Lord.
Third match is in the ring. And just as it's over, I catch a glimpse of him running to get dressed. Well, they had me go to the ring. I went to the ring. The bell's ringing for him. He finally comes running out to the ring. We get in the ring. We start wrestling around, blah, blah, blah. You know, nothing. You know, just doing our stuff. And we build the match. Got the heat going. He started making his comeback and told me to cut him off. And I'm like, cut you off? Because I thought he was taking it home. And I cut him off and he said, DDT. What?
All right.
So I hook him and I DDT him and cover him. And he says, do you want the job as booker? And I said, hell yeah. And he goes, don't take anything less than 100% control. Okay.
Wow.
And that's how it happened in the ring. So I go back to the locker room. I'm getting dressed. I hear Ole screaming, Jay, get your ass in here. So I go in there and here's the Briscoes and some other people. And I can't remember who all was there. Oh, gosh.
Well, anyway, if Buzz was booking, it's safe to assume he was.
Well,
present.
No, Buzz wasn't present. No.
Oh, okay.
So they're like, we're getting a new booker and it's you. And Ole's looking at me. Yeah, it's fucking you. Can you believe that shit? You know? And the Briscoe brothers are like, Ole? God damn. And I said, well, I'd love to do it, but I won't do it without 100% control. 100% control? Are you fucking kidding me? I'll kill you. I'll kill you. You know? Oh, my God. It was brutal, man. But when it was over, I had 100% control.
Wow.
I brought in talent. I hired talent. I fired talent. The only thing I wasn't doing was writing the checks.
That sounds almost like a little bit of a coup, right?
It was a coup.
Interesting.
It was a power thing.
So, like, I just assumed that you were coming in and maybe they needed help with booking and you were booking alongside Ole. Ole was just done booking?
He was done.
Completely.
So was Brett. And so was Buzz. Well, Buzz and Brett quit.
Wow.
They quit.
I knew that they left the territory. I didn't know why.
Yeah. And a couple of weeks later, Tommy Rich quit.
So what? That's, I find that interesting because I feel like you'd be booking him well, a guy like Tommy Rich.
Yeah, I had great things set up for him.
Was it just like a matter of principle or something?
It was a matter of Buzz was his brother.
Yeah. You know? Okay.
So I just, you know, I worked the deal out for him where he wouldn't wrestle in the Georgia territory. He had been in the Georgia territory for years. And he had burned his bridge. He really had with the people. He had done some pretty stupid things, being drunk. Different things happened with him and Buzz. One incident, he was on the microphone at the Omni crying to the fans.
This is Tommy?
Yeah. I don't love you. You don't love me. I don't care. Yeah, after a strap match. It was horrible, man.
Oh, Lord.
But anyway, I was going to get him out of the Georgia territory and book him out. But book him out where he would make some really good money. But he didn't want to be booked out. I said, screw that. I'm not doing it.
Man, I wonder if he had it to do over if he would change things.
I'm sure he would because he went out to Memphis and starved to death.
Yeah, you had told me before you never got to work for Jerry Jarrett, but were his payoffs pretty infamous by this
point? Oh, yeah. Well, I worked for him for 2 weeks one time.
Okay.
And I gave my notice. And they said, why are you giving your notice? You just got here. I said, I didn't bring enough money.
Yeah, it's, man.
It's true.
Jerry Jarrett, very frugal businessman and a hell of a promoter. But it is funny hearing some of the stories. I've always heard about Steve Austin said he lived on just nothing but potatoes for weeks and weeks on end.
Yeah.
Because you just buy a big bag of potatoes and with all your money and that's all you can eat.
That's it, man. $20 payoffs don't go far.
No. That won't even get you through the night at the bar, I'm guessing, right?
Oh, the bar. Forget about that. You couldn't afford that.
You can't be buying the ladies' drinks with that, for God's sake.
I never did that.
They came to you with the drinks?
They bought their own.
Oh, okay. Well, it's, man, you got it figured out, Jake. Well, let's keep on going. And thank you for that story, because I was going to ask you about how you got into booking. And man, yeah. I did not expect a story. I thought it was just going to be like, hey, they needed help. They're struggling. They knew I could tell a story. Holy smokes. That's wild.
It was.
Do you think that you could benefit AEW if they let you have the pencil a little
while? Absolutely.
God, I'd love to see what you'd, I'd love to see.
I would love the opportunity. Just give me 15 minutes a show. Mm-hmm. Let me put something together.
I mean, hell, dude, they've got a Collision now. They've got Rampage. They've got AEW Dynamite. That's a lot of booking for
a lot of booking, man. A lot of booking. I know that I can help.
Well, so let's put it out there on them internets. Jake Roberts, I think, would be a huge
begging for that job.
He would be a huge asset with AEW. Well, before we get into the whole meat and potatoes here, I did want to ask you, because I don't think we're ever going to talk about him again. Really, there's no reason to. Larry Zbyszko and Mr. Wrestling 2 are on top, battling over the NWA National Heavyweight title around the time that you're coming in. And Larry will win it here in early June before the two swap it back and forth. What did you think of Larry as a performer? Again, I don't see us talking about him much on the podcast.
Larry was a good performer. You know, he wasn't exceptional. But he knew what to do out there.
Did he ever talk to you about him and Bruno?
No.
I've heard that he loves telling the story.
Oh, yeah. I've heard he did too, but I don't remember much of it. I heard he talked to me about it a little bit, but I don't remember it.
He's a character, man. And, yeah, I always liked his work too. Great promo. Fun to watch. So nothing against Larry.
No.
So when the Road Warriors show up, it's just a little bit before you yourself come into the territory, and they're wearing this traditional like biker gear, but it's not too long before they make a transition to these painted faces and the wild outfits they'd come to be known for. We mentioned earlier that they already had these phenomenal physiques, but what did you think of them adding this kind of dash of sports entertainment to their presentation?
Oh, it was a plus. It made them entertainers instead of dirty bikers.
Yeah, I gotcha. Kind of set him apart a little bit.
Yeah, it did. Certainly did. In a positive way.
For sure. And I mean, the proof is in the pudding, man. You go on to look at what they went to do with that face paint. Holy shit. They got big as life. So did you, Jake. And by September, you arrive in Georgia. And our first clip this week is your debut promo with the territory.
I started out a long time ago just as a lonesome schoolboy. But you see what happens. As you travel through life, you have certain things happen to you. It changes the way you feel, and the way you live, and the way you die. Well, a man from Texas once told me, he said, Snake, he said, step right on up, brother, because if you ever want a piece of the pie, you gotta go to the baker. Well, I know where the baker's at now. It's taken me a few years to find it. But people like Pez Watley, people like Tommy Wildfire Rich, people like Wrestling 2, people like Buzz Sawyer, and a lot of other fools have been running roughshod, if you want to call it that. Maybe they just been getting away with things they want. But you know something, timing is the sense of everything. You look at any sport, it's a sense of timing. Well, I have picked my time. No one else chose this time for me. I have picked my time. So you see, whenever you look at me and you see what I can do, and Mr. Announcer down there, I think his name is Gordon Soley, I want you to sit down and watch, because you've been around wrestling for a long, long time. And you know what kind of things go on. And you've seen a lot of sick people come through the area, I'm sure. But have you ever seen anyone that can do what I can do when I want to? Oh, yeah, 6'5", 245 pounds. A lot of people say I'm not big enough for the job, but brother, just grab a hold of me and watch me grow.
So what do you think you were referencing there at the end, Jake?
The snake?
Man, a pretty different character from the guy we were seeing in Mid-Atlantic here, with, you know, alongside the likes of Ricky Steamboat, just not all that long before this. Man, the longest microphone I think I've ever seen in my entire life you were holding. You look like that dude at the bowling alley who has coke on him. you were just dressed to the nines. Guys, we're going to put that on social media. It's just a really fun clip and a different look at Jake. But, man, what did you think of your arrival in this territory right out of the gate?
Oh, there was great promo.
Hell yeah.
Got everything I needed to say.
Yeah, man, really set you up pretty well. And, you know, you mentioned it's not going to be too long before you're booking. How long into your run would you say that you had this match with Briscoe?
Like 2 weeks.
That's it.
3 weeks. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's in a clip we're going to show here in a little bit. It kind of shows that, you know, that you were moving in the right direction, even with your own storyline. We'll get there in a second. But first, let me ask, what do you remember about first crossing paths with Mike and Joe when you got here?
Well, I met him at the bar at the hotel. Imagine that. And we got along pretty good. And immediately we started riding together.
Mm-hmm.
So the table was set there. It's pretty funny to think about both of them getting in my Trans Am.
Holy shit.
But that's what we did. We three of us got in that Trans Am and we went places, man. We went all over Georgia.
Man, you with that mustache and the sunglasses, Trans Am, like some Smokey and the Bandit shit going on down there.
There you go, man.
That's cool.
You know, Daddy.
Now, I know that you would come to live with those guys as well. How did that come to be?
Well, we were just down there, man, and we got tired of living in that hotel. And, you know, every week we had to pack our stuff into boxes and store them at the hotel. And then we'd go on the road, you know, for a week.
Whew, man.
Then when we come back, we'd have to unpack our boxes again. Yeah, it was really hard. And so I believe the first time I moved in with Joe, and that lasted, I think, about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. And no, it didn't. It lasted about 3 or 4 months. And then after that, Jerry Briscoe had a condo that he wanted to sublet. And I sublet the condo from him. So once I did that, Hawk moved in with me. And we had some great, great times, man.
Yeah, rumor and innuendo has it that you and Animal, maybe not exactly birds of the same feather, but but you and Hawk a little bit closer in personality. Was Nikita Koloff living with you guys as well?
He did at one time.
Okay.
So did Rick Rude.
Yes, I remember you telling the story of Rick Rude coming down and bleeding all over the couch.
Yeah.
If our listeners missed that, go listen to it on our WrestleMania 4 episode. We covered it in depth. But, man, it's just like what a motley crew of dudes coming through.
It was, man. Nikita Koloff was there, and he didn't even want to be a wrestler.
Really?
No, he didn't want to wrestle. He was there because his girlfriend had got caught screwing around with the best man.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was losing his mind. So he came down to Georgia and stayed with us and drove everybody fucking crazy, man. Every time I'd come home, all the ashtrays were gone out of the house. He'd take them and throw them out in the woods.
Oh, he hated that you smoked?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, for God's sake.
I remember being at the office one day, and Jimmy Crockett called me and asked me if I knew somebody that looked like a road warrior. I said, I got just the fucking guy, man. Same size and everything. But he doesn't know a damn thing about wrestling. You know what Jimmy Crockett said? What? We want him. We got a spot for him.
How about that?
Yeah. Nikita got his fucking job over a phone call. And they took him in there and made him a star.
Listeners, think about that for a minute. Nikita Koloff became a huge, huge star, 80s and 90s, and it's all because he was throwing away Jake Roberts' ashtrays.
That's it. I wanted him out of my fucking house.
That is wild. Man, How about that, Jake? A couple really interesting connections here. Not only are you here for the birth of the Road Warriors, but you're also kind of setting Nikita Koloff on his way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man. He went from sleeping on my couch to being in the main event.
Yep, tag teaming with Dusty eventually, just becoming a massive, massive star in that territory. Was this also around the time that you would have started dating Missy Hyatt?
Yeah.
Okay, how did that whole thing come to be?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's a story for you.
Oh, man.
Here we go.
I cannot wait.
Missy Hyatt had married this guy in Florida, and his name was Mansfield.
Eddie Mansfield.
That's who it was. Yeah. Eddie Mansfield.
I had no idea she had been with him.
Oh yeah. For 2 weeks. He'd worked for Georgia, and he worked over the other guys, and he sued Georgia for them not letting him wrestle. Yeah.
Wow. Didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, I didn't either. And he sued him, and he had all sorts of, you know, bullshit in there. And because she had been married to him, they hired her for her witness testimony.
All right.
About some of his antics that he pulled. You know, jet airplanes and all this bullshit, leaving bills here and there. And, oh, gosh.
So he was living the Ric Flair nature boy gimmick.
Yeah. And, well, that's how they got together. She's on the beach. He's on the beach. He goes up to her and tells her that, you know, I'm this, that, and the other, and jet airplanes and all this, baby. You know, hop on for the ride. And she tells him, well, I'm one of the Hyatt family.
wait a minute.
So they both con each other. They both think the other one's loaded.
Oh my God.
So we're at the Omni one night, and Ole comes to me and he goes, you got to babysit somebody for me. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? He said, you got to babysit somebody for me. We got this bimbo coming in. She's got to testify in court tomorrow. So you're going to babysit her tonight. Like, the fuck I am. I'm not babysitting her. Who is it? And they point her out to him like, fuck yeah, I'll babysit her.
Yeah, sure. I don't mind.
I'd be glad to. She doesn't need a hotel room. So, yeah, that's how it happened.
How long did you end up dating Missy?
Too fucking long.
Too long. Did she come at you with any of that Hyatt family bullshit?
No. Just a few months.
All right. Well, so, man, I'm sure some wild stories, maybe for another day.
Sickening stories, yeah.
Oh, boy. So maybe some offline stories then.
Yeah, she introduced me to freebasing.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay. She kind of positions it the other way around that you would have.
I know she did.
A lot of stuff. I know.
I still don't know how to freebase. Even after all these years.
All right, so the Road Warriors were, of course, being managed by Paul Ellering, and here, and you would be too, but it really seemed like most every heel at the time was being managed by Paul.
Well, we had Paul Ellering, we had the Road Warriors, and we added the Spoiler.
The Spoiler, and I know that, like, when you first came in, Buzz Sawyer was being managed by him. I want to say, like, King Kong Bundy got involved for a
minute. No.
No?
No Buzz Sawyer managing them, no.
Oh, I thought for sure Ellering was with he was coming out for all the promos with him and shit.
Oh, maybe Ellering was with Buzz. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, before, this would have been, like, right before you came in. And actually, part of our notes is him turning on
Ellering. Bundy turned on Ellering.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, that was a great setup, man. I set that all up.
That was your whole story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man, phenomenal stuff.
See, the thing is, we're talking about how great the Legion of Doom is. Even we make our manager stay in shape. So we made Paul Ellering do step-ups for the whole 2 hours.
Oh, my God.
While he read the stock market paper, New York what is it, the stock market?
The Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal. He read the Wall Street Journal while he did step-ups for 2 hours.
I bet he didn't blow up either because he was
he didn't.
He was in phenomenal shape.
He didn't. But man, I made it a fucking rib, brother. When they went to commercial break, I said, don't you dare stop at commercial break.
There's a live studio audience. You can't stop. Live
studio audience, and that'll get out. So he did it.
So I bet he didn't complain either, man.
No, he didn't. So we talked about how what great athletes we were and all this and that, and all of a sudden they start showing these Bundy clips. So I told Gordon, so just mention that you hear there's a rumor that Bundy may be joining the Legion of Doom. And so when he does that, Ellering goes off on him. Let me tell you this, Gordon Solie. And Gordon's like, we're still on the air. Just a minute. Because they were going to show another clip, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Ellering's not waiting. No, I'm going to tell you right now, that fat pig, that you think that fat pig would be a part of the Legion of Doom makes me want to throw up right here on you. And he's and the whole time, Gordon's going, Paul, you're still on the air. You know, but Paul just keeps talking about, we train hours and hours every day. You think he's ever trained in anything? What, lifting a fork? You know, blah, blah, blah. Just kept on ranting about how fat he was and all this shit. Well, I had Bundy come out there, grab him, toss him into the ring, and go after him.
Mm-hmm.
But the Road Warriors got there in time to jerk his legs out from under him and save him. That's an angle.
Yep. That is what you call good, cohesive storytelling.
Yes.
Jake, I have to admit, Paul Ellering, he was a huge blind spot for me in my fandom. I never really got to see much of his stuff. As I'm watching it back here now with GCW, it's just incredible. But, you know, like I said, he's all over this program. What exactly made him the right man for the job being so well featured?
Well, he was good for the Road Warriors because he kept them on a level plane because the Road Warriors trusted him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a Minnesota boy too. You know, and Paul was a great power lifter. I mean, he bench press over 500. Squatted, I don't know, 800, something like that. So the Road Warriors respected him. So he could keep them on an even keel, which was very, 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 very important. As they had a little thing called steroid rage boiling in them 24/7.
Really?
Oh, my God, yeah, brother. It was dangerous.
So they were like on the edge all the time?
All the time, man, ready to just completely blow up on you.
Did they ever wind up losing their shit on you when you were living with them?
It came real close. It came real close. One time I'll tell you about it. It's my fault. Hawk said, there's only one thing. You never, never, ever go in my room. You got it? Fuck, I don't want to go in your fucking stinking room. Well, one night, Missy was there.
Oh, boy.
And I came up with this idea. She was doing her nails. So she had cut off several nails. I said, oh, this is going to be hilarious. Come on. So I got the nails together, and I went into Hawk's room, pulled the covers back, and sprinkled the nails in the bed.
Oh, no.
And on the pillow. And then I went to the bathroom and got some cream rinse and squirted it on the pillow.
Oh, God.
Which reminds you of something else.
Yeah.
And I put the cover back on it gently, and I unscrewed all the light bulbs. So Missy and I are in bed about 3:30 in the morning, and I hear him come in. And brother, I hear him yell, motherfucker! And the next thing that happens is my door comes into my room.
Off the hinges.
No, it didn't go off the hinges. He tore the whole door frame.
Oh my God.
Fucking hits the foot of the bed, lands on my legs. He's on top of me choking the shit out of me, man.
Oh, my God.
Missy comes over. He grabs Missy by the hair and chucks her up against the wall. Oh, yeah.
Oh, what?
By the way, don't ever go in his room.
No, thank you. What exactly prompted you to, like, hey, this will be fun?
That's why they call it dope.
All right, it's all coming together. Wow, that is wild. It's hard to move on after a hell of a story like that, but I'm going to give it a shot. As we move into the fall, yourself and the Road Warriors are together under Ellering, but not quite yet the Legion of Doom. You get a shot at Brett Wayne for the National Heavyweight Championship, and the Warriors are in the National Tag Team Championship picture, dominating just about everybody. I mean, a couple really unpolished prospects at this time. Great looks, as we discussed, but man, at the time, everything that you were doing is just crisp, tight. Yeah. It's, you know, you could argue that you were kind of at your physical, technical peak.
Yeah.
But these guys are so unpolished. I mean, like, are you trying to teach them stuff along the way?
Oh, God, yeah, man. I'm trying to talk to them all the time. We rode together. We slept together. We were in each other's ears 24/7, along with Paul Ellery.
Yeah.
That was the reason being, you know. And we rode together. We just did it all together, man. And they were starting to pick up stuff. They were starting to pick up stuff.
Yeah.
And, meanwhile, I took the NWA belt and gave it to Brad Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
And let Ted DiBiase chase Armstrong, so that was fun.
Yep, that was certainly a part of the storyline that I was seeing. But also, what's really cool is that, you know, you have this thing here with Brett, but during that match, Buzz winds up, you know, turning on Ellering and you. Which, you know, you lose your shot at the national championship. However, it does position you for the television championship, which is kind of the feud that will come to be known for. Again, let me remind everybody, November marks the 40th anniversary of your victory over Garvin. It's coming this November, so we will be talking about it in depth. But Jake, in my research, I discovered that you were the very last NWA Georgia television champion because it was renamed the NWA World Television Champion during your first reign. So, hey, there's a little feather in your cap, man.
There you go, man.
Not too bad.
There you go.
Road Warriors would drop Paul Ellering as their manager, citing that they didn't need him to win. But, of course, they would eventually rejoin to officially form the Legion of Doom. Why do you think the hokey pokey here with them?
I wasn't a part of that.
You guys had a good thing going.
Yeah, that happened before we got together.
Okay. Oh, I got you. So it was like a breakup before time.
Yeah.
And then I'm with it. Yeah. Okay. Well, not long before they're back in the fold, we get our first mention of the Legion of Doom in late 1983, as Ellering claims that 84 will be the year of the Legion of Doom. Jake, do you recall the origin of the Legion of Doom name?
Absolutely.
Where's it from?
We're in that car riding down the road, and Hawk did these voices that were so good. Ted Knight from the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yeah.
That's the voice. He had the cartoon voice for the kids cartoon series.
Super Friends.
Super Friends. And he had the Legion of Doom. Meanwhile, back at the Legion of Doom, the Black Flash is banging Wonder Woman. He would just start telling stories like that, and we'd all laugh our asses off, man. So we wound up calling ourselves the Legion of Doom.
How about that, boys and girls? After the Super Friends cartoon.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, Jake, who's providing the weed when you guys are sitting around watching cartoons coming up with this shit?
Me.
I'm just picturing you guys in like an apartment on Saturday morning watching cartoons to come up with this name is some of the funniest imagery that I think we're going to get.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
Well, Jake, as we move through the this history, I have to tiptoe carefully again. So I'm not going to give away too much about your feud with Garvin. We'll get there. But in February, despite being the TV champion, you're entered in the NWA World Title Tournament for a shot at Ric Flair's title. Ellering publicly predicts that you'll win it all. A notable match you've got is in round two, and this is your only, or round two is your end, because you lose to Brad Armstrong by pinfall. You'd work with him again in Mid-South. Brad, every bit as good as advertised?
Absolutely, man. I think he should have been a world champion at some point. He was great.
What do you think held Brad back?
Brad held Brad back.
His weathering issues.
Brad did not want to travel. Mm. He wanted to stay near his family all the time.
I gotcha.
That's the whole icicle right there. You know, or Vince would have picked him up.
God, for sure. He had that great physique. I mean, he was kind of like a Kerry Von Erich type guy without the substance issues.
Right. Exactly. He was phenomenal, man. That's why I put all my cards on him when I took the book over.
Can certainly see why. Great look. Did you know Bullet very well?
Oh, yeah. I'd wrestled Bullet.
Had you really?
Oh, yeah. Got high a few times together.
So I can picture that.
Oh, yeah.
Man, what an awesome family. Brad's brother, Bullet's son, Brian Armstrong, has got a podcast on our network as well called Oh You Didn't Know. So check that out if you haven't listened to it, because those guys are hilarious.
I tell you what, the Armstrong family should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yep, they absolutely should be. They for sure got
the whole family.
Man, it's such an unbelievably talented family. Yeah. Tragedy, but more than that, incredible history.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, March into April, you're working six-man tags with the Road Warriors against Bundy, Garvin, and Tim Horner. So that storyline has happened that you set up with Bundy, and man, it's a great one. Guys, a lot of this stuff is available. It's not on the WWE Network. However, if you just Google it or look it up on YouTube, some of it is available there. So go out of your way to find it. To my knowledge, this would mark the first time on TV that you'd work with them, but I could be wrong because it is kind of patchy as far as the availability is concerned of these clips. But that's going to be our next clip this week, is the finish of this match with you and the Road Warriors.
Referee calling for the break on that. He breaks it all right. Oh, but broke his jaw with another right hand. Jake the Snake Roberts using the back of the elbow. Horner shaking his head, trying to clear those cobwebs. But he's in a lot of trouble here, Ole.
And I'll tell you what, there was a mix-up in that six-man thing that was in there. And Horner's got just enough luck, makes that tag to Garvin. Come on.
And Ronnie Garvin has his first and foremost wish right now. And that's Jake the Snake Roberts. Garvin, lateral press. Jake the Snake powers out. Roberts caught him, and that appeared to be a karate thrust into the throat. Horner's in there, and it is Garvin, rather, coming out of it before the count. Now it's the Hawk against Ronnie Garvin. The whole ring jarred time, and it's the Hawk down across his chest. Into the ropes. Garvin coming up slowly, grabs a hold of those ropes. The Hawk in behind him. And he's in behind him. One fall. Two whatever. And brother, we've had it. All the way from some great wrestling to fair sexing to a free-for-all. Garvin, back to the basics, makes the tag. Tim Horner back in the ring. Horner missing with a drop kick that time as Jake the Snake slipped away from it.
Jake has got that experience. Jake is watching, but then Horner comes back. He's got some experience of his own.
Rolling reverse into that saddle, and it is brother. The Hawk. Horner.
So we ended in a schmoz, but man, really cool to see you guys in a tag team like that. I felt like I had to add the clip. It felt like a Survivor Series situation before that was a thing.
Yeah, that was awesome to see, man. I'd forgotten about that.
Man, fun to watch. As you know, again, you're the experienced talent on your side of the ring. Those guys are not. I mean, as you're going live during a match, are you talking to them?
Sure.
And I mean, you know, you said that they were roid rage at times. Were they always pretty willing to listen or
how did that go? Yeah. Well, when it came to business, they were ready to listen.
good that they recognize that they could learn from you. But however, you know, even though you guys would have been fine outside the ring, tension started to brew in the LOD by late April, as you claimed to be the best that the group had to offer. And the Road Warriors take issue with the statement. That supposed issue leads to our final clip this week and a promo that I've seen get an awful lot of attention online.
Wrestling Illustrated, the world's number one wrestling magazine, presents Press Conference.
Today on Press Conference, the Snake, Jake Roberts. This is Craig Peters, Associate Editor of Pro Wrestling Illustrated Magazine, along with Senior Editor Bill Apter. And our first question for Jake Roberts. You've appeared on television saying that you're the very best that the Legion of Doom has to offer, and we've noticed that the Road Warriors don't particularly like these comments. We'd like your reaction.
Well, the thing about being the very best is if you ever start in your own mind to say you're not the one, if you're not the very best in your own mind, then you're going to be a loser in the ring. There's nothing personal with the Road Warriors.
This doesn't mean that there's dissension within the Legion of Doom?
No, this is a business, man. I'm in here for money. Precious Paul takes care of all the little problems, and that's a small problem because the Road Warriors are the national tag team champions, and I will be the world's TV champion again. You can count on that. So there's no conflict of interest.
All right, well,
I think
Jake,
Bill has a question about that TV.
No, I'm not stirring anything up. It cost Ronnie Garvin $34,000 to get that match, okay?
Yeah.
Who got the money, you or Paul Ellering?
Well, we spread it around. We're fair about this. It was a situation where Paul had used his mind, and I used my body to get it.
Did Paul take a larger percentage?
That's none of your business, is it? I got my money, he got his. Everybody who's involved got theirs. The only person that didn't get their money was Ronnie Garvin.
Well, I think since this was on World Championship Wrestling on the Superstation, everyone out there really wants to know who got the big cut of it.
Well, why don't you ask Ronnie Garvin? He signed the check.
Fine. Great.
All right. Our fan question this time comes from Chuck Mecki of St. Louis, Missouri. And Chuck points out that you've been consistently at the top of the most hated ratings in Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine. And he wants to know how you feel about being one of the most hated wrestlers in the world.
Kind of makes me proud. You know, I don't care for the fans. Don't get me wrong, I won't go out there and chop them up or anything like that. But I don't have the time to spend shaking hands, signing autographs. And I don't have the desire to do it. I used to do it a few years ago, but after a while, you just get so fed up with them, man. Let me go out and beat somebody up, do my job, collect my money, and let Paul get me out of the building. That's all I need to do.
All right, so you would say that you really don't care about the fans?
No, I don't.
All right.
Do you? Well, you do because they buy your little magazine, right?
I don't think we have to answer that.
We're interviewing you here.
We don't have to answer that.
Sure, we don't have to answer anything either then. Just remember this, it's great to be great, and we're the greatest, and you're lucky we're even sitting here talking to you.
Oh, Jake. That was just fantastic.
Thank you.
My goodness. So, I mean, following this, Jake, I mean, clearly it's being positioned that there's some issues in the Road Warriors. But, you know, as they continue to bail you out of situations as the storylines move on. I know at one point you call out Ole Anderson, and he charges the ring and the Warriors come and give you the assist. Do you remember if there's some plan for a breakup or something?
No, there's never a plan for us to break up.
Just all a big tease for the audience.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Okay. Well, by the time June rolls around, Jake, you're gone and will soon be appearing for the WCCW territory. And I believe it was going to be August of 84.
Well, you know why I left, don't you?
That's what I was just about to ask. What happened?
Well, I went to WTBS to do TV one morning, and guess who's there?
Who?
Vince McMahon.
Okay. That Black Saturday or whatever they call it.
Yeah. Yeah. He bought it out.
Wow.
And I took my book and I tore it up in front of him and told him to shove it up his ass.
What?
Yeah, real smart, wasn't I?
So, wait a minute. Why do that?
Because I was pissed off, man. My fucking job just disappeared. I had all these plans, all these things in my mind ready to go.
And it was just all fucked in one fell swoop.
Yeah, I was getting ready to turn Nikolai Volkoff babyface.
Man, imagine.
I was going to have him sing in church. At Tim Horner's church.
Wow.
While Tim was on piano.
So how far in advance were you booking?
My mind books 6-8 months in advance.
That's incredible.
That's how far I looked out.
So 6-8 months right down the tubes in all in one moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, at the time, you know, Vince is taking over up in New York. I mean, you didn't have any kind of like in saying fuck this guy, but you didn't have any worry about like it can mess with me in the future.
Nope.
Well, evidently it didn't. I mean,
it wasn't real smart on my behalf, to tell you the truth.
Maybe not.
Because I could have been up there 2 years sooner.
God, imagine. I mean, some of the shit that was going on up there that you could have been, I mean, that right when Hulkamania was heating up.
Yeah.
You could have been there, man.
I could have been a big part of that.
Big what if. I mean, all's well that ends well. You ended up doing okay. Your time around the Road Warriors isn't quite done yet. They would make their way up to the WWF in 1990. You, of course, would get there in 86. Are you immediately traveling with your old pals or not so much?
No, they changed.
Changed how?
Just...
big stars.
They had too many quirks.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty different version of them. You'd wind up teaming with them in a few 8-man tags, along with the Big Boss Man against Earthquake, the Mountie, the Nasty Boys. Nearly a decade later, and to your point, it's just not the same guys anymore.
No.
Not even Hawk. I know that you remain fairly close with him.
It changed.
Well. I won't ask you to get into those details too much. We're going to wrap it up here for this week. However, I do have to ask one last question. We know you certainly had your issues when it came to addiction. And unfortunately, Hawk also had his share of substance abuse problems. At what point did it become clear to you that it had a strong hold on him?
When they came back to WWF, WWE.
So by that point, it was...
He was off in it.
Man... Yeah. What a shame. You know, ultimately, I believe that would be his greatest downfall, you know, not just in wrestling, but in his life. So awful. But man, just thank you for sharing all your stories today. This was an absolute blast. I love getting to hear all this. And Jake, next week, we're hitting another anniversary coming up here. We're going to be talking about King of the Ring 1996. And of course, the birth of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Man, I cannot wait to hear you talk about some of the behind the scenes there from the new generation era. Well, look, guys, if you're looking to attract that 25 to 54 male demographic to your product or service, why haven't you gone to advertise with snake.com yet? Jake is a legitimate household name. He's still over like Rover, and you can get him to put over your stuff to the exact audience you're targeting. If you need evidence that it works, just listen to our show. We're always doing the same advertisers and talking about the same business all the time, and that's because what we do works. Head to advertisewithsnake.com and team up with the Hall of Famer today. Also, JakeTheSnakeShop.com is rocking and rolling. Things are selling out routinely, and you don't want to miss your chance to get your hands on some rare signed collectibles. Jake still has a few of the signed Ultimate Edition 2-packs of himself and Rick Rude, and they are not going to last long. Get over there now. Pick up this piece of wrestling history. It was 35 years ago that they had this rivalry, and you can own a piece of this history with these awesome-looking 2-packs personally signed by Jake at JakeTheSnakeShop.com. If you can't make it out to one of Jake's signings, get the next best thing with Cameo from Jake at cameo.com/JakeSnake. Jake is having a lot of fun doing these, but he's also there to help you out if you need motivation, if you just want him to cut a promo on you, if you want him to quit your job for you, it doesn't matter. He's got your back over there too. Again, it's cameo.com/JakeSnake. Order yours today. Summer is almost here, guys, and we have got all kinds of incredible stuff over at boxofgimmicks.com and the Snake Pit Shop. We've got tank tops. We've got stylish shorts. We've got a sweet fanny pack. We even got a beach towel over there for you. So look, go over there. Just have a gander. I am over there constantly thinking of new stuff, reloading, and I am a fan of the 80s and 90s, and all of the merch that we put up there reflects that. Just go have a look. It's boxofgimmicks.com and the Snake Pit page. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/@snakepitpod for short clips from our show highlights and some exclusive content. We recently did a giveaway and we're doing a lot more. All you have to do to be eligible is head over to youtube.com/@snakepitpod. Subscribe and you are in. Also, if you've enjoyed our podcast, please like, subscribe, and leave us a 5-star review on all platforms because that helps us out a ton. Again, if you're enjoying what we're doing, you want us to keep doing it, get over there, give us a 5-star review, please. And just know that we're going to continue to bring you incredible content week after week. Just a reminder, you can get the Snake Pit and all of our other shows in our network early and ad-free at adfreeshows.com. Starts at just $9 a month, which is less than 15 cents an episode each month. plus tons of bonus content, interactive chats with your favorite hosts and wrestling personalities, and much more. Get over to adfreeshows.com today and sign up. If you're a wrestling fan and you are not part of Ad Free Shows, I say this all the time, you are missing out on the best content on the internet when it comes to professional wrestling. You don't have to believe me. Get over there. There's a free trial. Give it a shot. And I am willing to guarantee that you're going to love what you see over there. Catch Jake on Twitter at JakeSnakeDDT, on Instagram at JakeTheSnakeDDT, and on Facebook at RealJakeTheSnake. You can follow me at Marcus P. D'Angelo on Twitter, and you can follow the podcast at SnakePitPod on all social media platforms. We thank you guys for joining us this week, and we'll catch you next time right here in the Snake Pit.